In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We are given this morning a very familiar parable, one that we associate in the church with the approach of Great Lent. Last week, those signals that Great Lent is approaching began for us. Last week, we heard the story of the encounter between Jesus and Zacchaeus, the tax collector. This week, our Lord tells the parable of the publican and the Pharisee. And if last week the great theme was the theme of desire, in particular how the journey through Great Lent and Holy Week and Pascha, that long journey begins very simply with the desire to see the Lord, then this week is about the next requirement for moving to and ultimately through Great Lent. This week we are reminded that the experience of the Great Fast is one that should humble us. The humility of the publican, the humility of this sinful tax collector who falls down and asks for mercy, that is to become our humility. And of course, the pride and the arrogance and the self-satisfaction of the Pharisee, the righteous member of the church, those are things that we are called to lay aside. There's a curious problem at the heart of this parable. Humility is not really the sort of thing that you can work hard to increase in yourself. If you want to increase your strength, your physical strength, you can undertake an exercise program. There's something you can do about it. If you want to increase your humility, there aren't really exercises you can do. It turns out that humility is not the sort of thing that you can set forth as a goal to increase, something that you can work hard to achieve. Imagine saying to your husband or your wife or your best friend, "You know, I am so much more humble this year than I was last year." Humility is not the sort of thing that allows you to look at yourself in the mirror and say, "You should be really proud of yourself. Last year you were such an arrogant knucklehead, and this year you are really a humble man. Brother, way to go." Humility doesn't work that way. It just doesn't work that way. The job of becoming humble sounds good. We want to do it. It's not as easy as it sounds. Our Lord knows this. And this, in fact, is why he gives us this marvelous parable of the publican and the Pharisee. We know from other places in the Gospels that the Pharisees are the great opponents of Christ. They questioned his authority. They are among those who plotted against him, plotted his death, who accuse him of blasphemy. And so you might think that the parable is spoken by our Lord against the Pharisees. The Pharisees are sort of in the crosshairs. They are in the target. This is not quite right. We also know that elsewhere in Scripture, when the Lord wants to speak to the Pharisees, he does it rather directly. With the Pharisees, Jesus always uses what we call his fighting words. St. Matthew's Gospel, he calls the Pharisees a brood of vipers. He calls them children of hell. He says that they are whitewashed tombs. This is my favorite one. "You are whitewashed tombs. You look fine on the outside, but inside you are filled with dead men's bones." Our Lord doesn't speak subtly to the Pharisees. He doesn't speak in parables or with imagery. In this particular parable, publican and the Pharisee, it occurs in the 18th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. And all of that chapter, the entire chapter 18, is devoted to the interaction not of Jesus and his enemies, but of Jesus and his disciples. In chapter 18, the Pharisees, they're nowhere to be found. And so this parable might mention a Pharisee, but it is not about the Pharisees. The parable is really about those followers of Jesus who stood in need of some correction. In fact, the verse that occurs just before the start of the parable tells us that our Lord tells this story to some of those who trusted in themselves and trusted in their righteousness and despised others. And so he tells his followers a parable in which the bad guy is a Pharisee, but it is not about the Pharisee. It's about them, and it's a zinger. Imagine the scene. Our Lord gathers his disciples around him, and he begins to tell this parable about a humble tax collector, a sinful man who has humbled himself in repentance. We can imagine a few voices rising up and saying, "That's right, Master. Those prideful, arrogant Pharisees, they should be ashamed of themselves. Those Pharisees are no good hypocrites, and we know it. They are so judgmental and so self-righteous. Thank God Jesus is here to show us the way. Let us give thanks to God that we are not like the Pharisees." It's almost the response that our Lord was fishing for, telling a story like that to those who trusted in themselves. The words that they would say are the words said by the Pharisee in the parable. "I thank thee, O Lord, that I am not like other men, like that tax collector over there." This is what makes this parable so brilliant. This is what gives this parable such power over us. It's so natural in any story to want to be on the side of the good guy, to set ourselves against the bad guy. But you can't do this in this parable. Jesus tells us a story that breaks all the rules. We want to say that we are like the publican, or at least we want to say that we want to be like the publican. But we can't, because there's that pesky Pharisee right there in the same story. And our reaction is to always say, "That is not what I am. That is not what I want to be. That is somebody else." And so by simply viewing the Pharisee as the bad guy, simply by judging his judgmental spirit, by discounting and condemning his tendency to condemn and discount others, simply by viewing him as the guy with the black hat on, we become the Pharisee. We do exactly what he did. We begin to say here in the temple where the parable was read, "I thank you, O Lord, that I am not that guy." So as soon as we try and we become humble, as soon as we try to become that humble publican, we immediately become the Pharisee. That never gets old to me. Jesus lands a punch right between my eyes each and every time I hear this parable. It's a technical knockout year in and year out. And to this parable, there are two reactions you can have. First, you may not even know that you've been hit, that Jesus has just landed a mighty blow right between the eyes of those who trust in themselves. You may not realize that hearing this parable turns us all into Pharisees. Or second, you may be given that grace, that clarity to realize what's just happened. You may be given that spiritual vision to say, "I am no better than the Pharisee. For when I judge him for being judgmental, I become that Pharisee." But this is the moment where grace pours into this story from our Lord right into our hearts. At that moment that we realize, yes, there's no escape. We are just like that Pharisee. And we are moved by the Holy Spirit and realize how much closer we are to the one who is self-righteous and judgmental than we are to the one who is repentant and sorry and dependent upon the Lord. As soon as we realize that simply by hearing this parable, we are always and each and every time turned into Pharisees, at that moment, the only thing we can do is say, "Lord, have mercy. Is there any hope for me?" And when we do that, when we fall down and realize that we are like the ones whom we condemn, then at that moment, that ugly Pharisee within us is transformed into the humble publican. We become the one who in humility turns to the Lord and says, "I cannot do this alone. I am powerless to fix what is broken in myself. I need your help. I need your mercy. I need your healing." And as soon as we do this, almost magically, we would say it's a grace-filled moment. We are the ones who walk away justified. What a marvelous parable. We want to be like the publican, but we can't. Because there is that Pharisee and we judge him, and in judging the Pharisee, we become the Pharisee. But when this happens, if we truly have ears to hear what our Lord is saying, the Lord gives us the grace to turn to him in repentance and finally become like the tax collector, like the one who is justified because he doesn't trust in his own self-righteousness. He who exalts himself will be humbled, our Lord says, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. He who thinks he's the publican becomes the Pharisee, but he who in horror realizes that he has become the Pharisee is given the grace to become the repentant publican. Brothers and sisters, the good news is that if we want to become more humble, we don't need to lift a finger. Great Lent is on the way. It's being delivered to our door. It is ours for free, and it won't cost us a penny. But like all good gifts, you have to want it, you have to receive it, and you have to make it your own. Great Lent can either be a nuisance to endure, or it can be an experience which changes our lives. Lent is still a few weeks away. It doesn't begin until Forgiveness Vespers, celebrated by all of us on Sunday the 26th. But may we begin to pray now, even now, for hearts that are ready. May Great Lent be for us a time in which we learn to trust more and more deeply in the love and the mercy of our Lord. May Great Lent be a journey which allows us step by step to become more like that tax collector, to take the healing and the forgiveness which flows from the cross, to admit that we need it, to set our hearts on accepting it, and to receive it as best we can. Amen.